If your brand were to post the same message or same photo, you're biased. These people are going to get you in front of consumers you can't get in front of, but they're also going to create content you can leverage to make yourself look even better.
All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream. Today,
what is influencer marketing and why should you be doing it?
We have a special guest who's an expert. Kristen, good stuff coming up right now.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when, you know, when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to episode 46 of
Grow the Dream Show.
Hey, he had a jingle ready today,
Josh,
Rod.
I was ready that time, Josh.
I was trying to say Grow the Dream Show like Feliz Navidad.
It didn't work.
Grow the Dream Show.
No, you can't even.
That's what I tried.
We can't all start singing now. But we do have something a little bit Navidad.
Christmas in a cup.
That's right. Santa's White Christmas.
Yay.
I found it.
Yes.
I know. I got that text. You were very excited.
So this is Barney's was a regional coffee retailer in Florida, based in like central Florida, like Orlando, I think.
There was one on St. Armand Circle that I went to sometimes.
My first date with my wife was at the Barney's on St. Armand Circle.
Nice. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. And every year since about 20 years ago, they have released what they call Santa's White Christmas. It's a flavored coffee. So the real coffee snobs of the world are like, oh, I don't drink flavored coffee. But this has...
Is he talking about me?
No. I mean, you know, unless you're a snob. Are you a snob today?
No, I've fully embraced the coffee snob.
Snobdom.
Moniker? Can I use that word right there?
Sure. Well done.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
One star for the millennial.
You make me insecure about big words.
Sounds like a bunch of Falderall to me.
I don't know. It truly is.
Anyway. All right, so that's our brew of the day. I'm excited about today's show.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a guest, which I'm also really excited to introduce in a second. But I must say this. If you missed the last two episodes of our show last week, the cognitive neuroscientist talking about memorable content.
OMG, rolling on the floor laughing. No, just OMG.
It wasn't really funny. I mean, was it?
No, I was trying to picture emojis at my work, and that was the only one that's coming to my head.
You could do the tears with tears of joy.
Thank you.
That's the new word of the year. But
there you go.
Have you seen the
floating businessman?
Not yet.
Oh man, it's on iOS. It's a new emoji. It's a levitating businessman.
That's going to be one of those that I get a box with an X in it. All you iOS people who text me emojis.
I've always wondered what's it like on the dark side.
You know?
Now we send an emoji that they're...
Okay.
Fine.
So cognitive neuroscientist. But the week before that was Dan Pink, the incredible New York Times bestselling author.
It was amazing.
It was a great show. But we had a snafu with our RSS feed on the first day of that show's release.
A snafu?
And I think that some people's clients didn't download it. So if you missed Dan Pink, you need to go back to episode 44 and catch that.
And it was because of an illegal character?
It was. There was an illegal character.
Was it one of you two?
We don't really know who's at fault.
I see.
But no, neither of us was an illegal character that day.
Okay.
Okay. So today, though, this is a topic we've been wanting to get to for a while. Because
let's get to the show.
This is a very hot topic in marketing. People want to know how to use influencer marketing techniques. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about this because our guest today is Kristen Matthews. She's the marketing director at Group High, which we'll have great fun talking about the name Group High in a minute because they are in Colorado. But Kristen is an expert at influencer marketing and, in fact, conducts how often do you do this, Kristen? It's like it's an influencer summit 2-3 times a year, maybe?
Something? Oh, yeah. Outreach Marketing Virtual Summit.
Yeah.
I see you every 6 months.
Okay. Well, I tried to come to one 6 months ago, and then I was at the most recent one, and very, very impressed. It's obviously a virtual thing, but appreciate you putting those on, and I'm excited about having you on the show. Welcome.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Glad to have you.
Yeah. So, first of all, how's the weather in Colorado? Are you guys having a white Christmas? Does it look like?
It's not supposed to snow more, but it snowed a lot on Tuesday and is quite freezing outside. So I would imagine we'll have like a dirty snow Christmas.
Nothing like dirty snow.
I'm dreaming of
like
a brown
snow that just doesn't melt.
Yes. Well,
I got salt on my car.
We're projected here in sunny Sarasota, Florida, to have 86 degrees for the high on Christmas Day.
Oh, it'd be a record high, right?
It would be.
It's been ridiculous.
This whole winter is a failure.
Well, and the summer was a failure before that because it rained the whole time. So anyway,
that's sort of typical for
Southern I'm considering
Florida.
Moving north.
I'm so jealous.
This is such a
our complaint is falling on deaf ears. Huh?
It's totally a first world problem that we're having.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Let's take a minute and embrace that.
Do you believe we still have to run our AC? It's so hard.
Oh boy,
it costs money, man.
All right.
True, it does.
So Kristen, for people who don't really know what we mean when we're talking about influencer marketing, can you give us kind of like the 30,000 foot? Like, what is it? What are we talking about?
Pun intended for 30,000 foot.
But
she's in Boulder, man. She's not at 30,000 feet. Boulder's not that high.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
In a whole different way.
It's close.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how high it is, and no, that was not supposed to be punny.
This is tough, right?
It is. The pun entendres are just endless.
It just comes out, you know.
Yeah, the puns are gonna come. It's okay.
So, if you want the quick influencer marketing overview. I'm trying to think of how to condense it because there's so many moving pieces and I can talk about influencer marketing for days at least.
Cool,
but
yeah.
I hope you have a lot of time. The way I like to approach influencer marketing and the influencer marketing approach I advocate for centers around building relationships with content creators who your consumers want to hear from, you know. So finding those marketing relationships that can talk about your brand without making you talk about your brand yourself. And I mean, compare it to being that person at a cocktail party who just talks about themselves, you know? So if we think about that for how brands approach their imaging and their digital marketing, it's really beneficial to have those influencer relationships in place and empower them with story-worthy content and creative ways that they can talk about you for you. They can reach consumers that you just can't on your own. I look at influencer marketing as very much a relationship building technique. So anything that you think you should be doing that would be associated with a traditional PR campaign, I would throw out the window. And basically just create a network around your brand of however many influencers you have time for. A lot of people I talk to have just recently gotten money on Shark Tank or startups and are relatively small companies. And so a lot of times the CEO is not only running every aspect of this brand, but they're also trying to market their brand. So a lot of times I'm like, hey, let's just start with a network of 15 people that you can communicate with on an ongoing basis, nurture those relationships, find cool ways to work together, and just do what you have time for.
Can we jump in and just say, like, when we're talking about influencers, we're talking about people who maybe they have social media following, maybe they're bloggers, maybe they have what are other characteristics of somebody that you might identify as an influencer?
Yeah, so first and foremost, they would be in the same content niche that your brand falls into. So sometimes I am all about the mid-level influencer or people who have a really engaged audience. And it's a perfect contextual lineup for your brand or what you're trying to do with your marketing. But sometimes they might have a little bit smaller of a following. I feel like that's still super effective because sometimes the more mid-level influencer has more time to dedicate to their network and engage with their network. So some brands report only wanting to work with those people. So I'd say first, yeah, you need that content fit. You need them to actually like your brand. You know, you don't want to just reach out to some random person and have them write about you. You want them to have an authentic relationship and love for your brand. I do feel like that can be read between the lines by consumers. So authenticity, content fit, and then of course you want them to have some sort of voice. So whether it's a blog following, or you find your brand does really well on Instagram, so you look at their Instagram following or Twitter following, whatever you decide make someone influential for your brand, I would look at those three things before adding someone to your list, to your master list of influencers.
Okay, so just a quick question, relationships being a two-way street, what does the influencer get out of their engagement with your product?
Good
or with
question,
your
Ron.
That is an amazing question, because it's something that I write about and weighing in on all the time. I have kind of an interesting relationship with marketers and with influencers. So
I love the use of the word interesting when you're talking about marketers.
Well, no, it's just interesting that I have like the whole spectrum. So okay. I have some really strong relationships with really high profile influencers. And then obviously for Group High, I work with marketers and PR professionals and big brands and agencies. So I'm able to kind of understand both sides of the story, which is really helpful. So your question about what does the influencer get out of it, I think that's what one of the first questions a marketer needs to ask themselves before they implement this kind of strategy. What can you give your influencer? They're going to give you some awesome word of mouth recommendations and social media shout outs. So you either need to put part of your marketing budget to compensating these people. A lot of companies are just putting a budget towards influencer marketing and kind of just taking it away and losing some of the more traditional blatant advertising tactics. Or a lot of companies will also trade them products. So if you have a really cool product or service, sometimes you can trade that for mentions too.
So can I stop you on the compensation question? Because I know this is probably going to be on a lot of people's minds. Like, I guess there are a couple of parts to it, but one of them is like, is it ethical to go to somebody that's got an Instagram following or a big blog and say, hey, I want you to write about my widget and
here's $100.
Yeah. Or some number. Yeah.
So I recently did a research report on this topic, whether or not financial compensation affects the authenticity of earned media. So I surveyed like 600 bloggers.
God bless
asking
you.
Them if they take compensation for posts, and when they do, does their audience still take that post as seriously? You know, because legally, they should be marking it as sponsored. I would say maybe have to. And so I thought that was an awesome topic. And I was kind of surprised at the results. Overwhelmingly, the blogger said if they were transparent and authentically stand behind a brand, their audience totally understands that they're trying to make a living too. They have a really supportive network behind them to become an influencer in the first place. So I recently wrote a post for Jay Bear's site, Convince and Convert, and it was called The Big Hairy If When It Comes to Paying Influencers for Posts. So I say yes, compensate your influencers if you already have that strong marketing relationship in place. So I would never recommend reaching out to somebody that you've not worked with before and be like, hey, I'll pay you to write about me.
Oh, okay, but so don't lead with it.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Try to lead with product, try to form that relationship. Once they authentically stand behind your brand, once you guys have that relationship in place, like, yeah, compensate them. I mean, they're scoring a lot of new consumers and eyeballs for your brand.
Are there other options beyond compensating them, basically paying them for it or trading them products? I mean, is there value that you offer them because of the very content itself that they're able to provide to their readers?
If you do have somebody on your team that can produce that valuable content, if you have a shiny new infographic that their audience would genuinely be interested in, if somebody on your team can write a guest post that is exclusively for them, is well written, obviously, is going to tackle a topic their audience cares about, sometimes you can trade a piece of content for a mention. Honestly, I feel like influencers are getting contacted more and more, and one of their pet peeves is like, I can't pay my bills with an infographic.
True. Right. Right. Yeah, sure.
I'm putting 2 hours into this post.
Like, right.
So I guess just picture from their point, if you're running a blog and you have all these companies just wanting to send you posts and infographics, like here and there, that's fine. Like I said, especially once you have the relationship with them, you'll do a combination of all kinds of cool stuff. But without free product to send from your brand or a little bit of a budget, you may have some difficulty. If you have a cool new product or an awesome story, sometimes that'll do it. It just depends on the niche, I guess, you're going after.
I'm curious about your software.
About Group High?
Yeah. It allows you to kind of like research influencers in your specific niche and then like prioritize them based on, you know, whether like they're a hot lead or kind of a back burner kind of thing. Or am I misinterpreting it?
I think you have the gist of it. We're an influencer identification platform. So our software, the heartbeat of Group High is essentially our index of 15 million blogs that our clients can search through and identify those bloggers who write about very specific topics. So instead of just pulling a list of fashion bloggers, a client can go in and pull a list of fashion bloggers who have written about vegan boots or something before, whatever that really like niche criteria would be. And then from there.
Did you just say vegan boots?
That was one that I've seen recently.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. I processed that and then I'm like, wait a minute. Did I hear what I think I just heard?
As opposed to alligator, I guess, or rawhide.
Vegan fashion is a thing, you guys. I'm in Boulder. You're in California.
Oh. No,
this
we're
should be too new.
We're in Florida.
We're on the other coast, unfortunately. Yeah, we're Floridians. Oh,
goodness,
yeah, we're that when you see the story that says Florida man, yeah, that's where we are.
Florida man starts podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So sorry, I'm totally interrupted you. I totally derailed your comment, but I just was so stopped on vegan boots. So, but actually, I think that gives maybe some of our listeners hope, right? Because some people don't have a product or a service that they feel like is going to appeal to the, you know, to the universe and masses of people. And I would imagine vegan boots.
That sounds like a narrow niche to me, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you got to find where the vegans are writing.
If you find your narrow niche for your brand, you are going to do way better with influencer marketing.
So okay.
Part of what we offer our clients when they come on board is helping them really filter out and take a look at who they're trying to reach through influencers and find those really specific niches.
So then you have these sort of mind-boggling 15 million blogs. And
I'm curious if mine's in there.
And and then so clients, you know, people that hire you or use you, sign on with you, can search there. They can find their vegan boots, Vegas boots,
yeah,
whatever.
And then
what?
Such a content topic-driven approach to that. That's how their search would start when they log into their Group High account. But from there, they get to pick other influencer criteria. So they can pick, oh, I want my influencers to be on Instagram and Twitter and have at least 5,000 followers.
All right, so you can really narrow and target it in the search there. Then after they've identified, you know, a half a dozen or a dozen, whatever, that they really want to target, then what do they do?
They'll add them to a list, and then their Group High account will pull like 40 different data points for all the influencers. And then we have a lot of CRM components in place so that they can keep in touch with and really nurture those relationships. If they have a whole team working in Group High, they can really work together well and see where each other is at if they're working on a campaign together, and then monitor for when they do earn those posts, and then run a report to see how well their campaign did. So we try to help them with the full story, beginning to end approach, but definitely the heartbeat is that index.
So when you say keep in touch, what exactly does that mean? Is that more of a, hey, you haven't emailed this person in a couple days? Like, what is What is best practice? How do these people like to be reached out to in a way that's not irritating?
Everybody is the same. So my rule of thumb is once you establish that relationship, keep in touch with them about once a month. But change it up. Don't send them just annoying emails. Send them a survey and chance to weigh in on the brand. And obviously that's going to keep you in touch with them. And then you could hopefully produce some interesting content. You can send them
a survey for influencers.
Newsletters, ask them a question. If you've seen a blog post or interesting conversation they facilitated on Twitter, mention that. Be creative and
leverage your podcast, ask them to come on as a guest in exchange.
Right.
Yeah. I always, for a lot of fashion brands and B2C brands, I always recommend that one of their columns that they put in their list should be their influencers' birthdays, so they can send them little birthday presents and stuff like that. It's just like those little tiny touches go a long way.
So we're now talking about influencers just like customers, you know, giving them a good brand experience.
They want to treat it like people, and they want you to be a person. They don't want to, like, interact with a robotic brand. They want to interact with a person at the brand. So if you send, like, a $5 gift card and birthday card, the mentions and love you will get from that, I promise, will go a long way.
Oh, wow. That's very, very cool. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the why. I mean, I think some of this is a little bit obvious if you're – but you know, like I'm trying to picture myself today, small business owner, maybe member of a small business marketing team, thinking about, wow, there's this new thing we should try, and that involves reaching out to people that have influence. I mean, I think some of it's obvious. Like, if I get a mention in a tweet from somebody that maybe has, you know,
like Bill Gates.
Well, okay, I wasn't going to shoot for the moon, but
How about Dan Pink for our show?
Sure, yeah, he was a guest. Right. He has 300 and some odd thousand followers.
Right.
And tweeted,
we got a lot of engagement.
Or
that
Jay Baer, which we mentioned earlier, episode 12. So if you want to go,
absolutely,
listen to the archives.
So I mean, that's easy for us to understand as podcasters, and I think that's kind of obvious. But like, are there other benefits beyond just whoever happens to see a particular tweet, or maybe it's a photo on Instagram or whatever it might be?
I mean, yeah, because if your brand were to post the same message or same photo, you're biased, you know? So this is a consumer that your other consumers can relate to, and they're actually going to act and take that shout out seriously. And then you'll also earn pieces of content that you can use in other areas of your marketing. So instead of having a boring newsletter that you send out to your consumers, you could embed a tweet that you earned or a blog post that somebody wrote about you. Those tweets and testimonials and earned media should all be part of your website and sprinkled throughout your site. So it's definitely, these people are going to get you in front of consumers you can't get in front of, but they're also going to create content that if somebody is seeking out your brand and searching for information about you, these pieces of content you can leverage to make yourself look even better, I think.
So, and I think about like the search engine optimization benefits, especially when you're talking about bloggers, right? Because links are so hard to come by these days, and obviously a lot of the SEOs that were selling link building tactics a couple of years ago are hopefully out of business by now. But
you left Shady out of that sentence.
Well, I mean, you know, there were black hat, you know, and there were white hat, you know.
Sure.
But this is truly a white hat method for building links.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Except they have to disclose.
Yeah,
and Google technically doesn't encourage paying for links. They think they should be nofollow. Just throwing it out there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, this is where those lines get blurred. Am I right?
Yes, very much. So a lot of people will ask me, where does SEO come into play? And honestly, I think that if you do this type of marketing and you build these relationships the right way, SEO is just something that's naturally going to get better for your brand.
There you go. Right. So, GroupHigh seems fairly process data oriented. Do you have any numbers on ROI, on return on investment, that people can maybe expect, even some range? Because a lot of people that I deal with anyway really like to have data points to go by.
Oh, yeah. So metrics that you should measure is the hottest topic in this industry right now. I've probably had 20 conversations about it this week.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
When it comes to measuring ROI on influencer marketing, it's all over the board. I mean, we have giant brands who are using our software. We have startup companies. We have agencies. defining like a formula or super secret way to measure ROI. I wish I had that for you, but I don't. We just encourage them to make sure they're not just measuring soft metrics, which we consider to just be social shares and engagement with the post. Like, that's all fantastic, but hopefully you're able to have access to Google Analytics and see actual traffic back to site and conversions if you're super savvy with Google Analytics to set data, really sentiment of posts, number of contents earned, those kind of metrics is more what we encourage people to focus on. And then it's really hard to compare yourself to the rest of the industry because every brand has a different amount of time and budget that they can put on this. So we just encourage them to make sure they're continually growing. So keep track of these metrics, compare yourself to how you did the month before or the same month last year. But an industry standard, that's hard.
Sure. Okay. So that makes sense. So can you give us a couple of, for instances, maybe some brands that said, hey, we've never done this before and we're going to give it a try. And, you know, what kind of, easy to pull out, examples could you give of somebody that's been successful?
I'm curious if there's been any local businesses who have used this successfully.
We have a lot of local agencies who have been on board for a couple years, so obviously they're stoked with it. Our agencies really like it because in-house they'll have their own formula and way of reporting back to the client on their work. So they tend to use Group High for the basics and take it back to their client and report on the cool stuff they did. In terms of brands, my favorite one that I've been working with is Prana. They're in their clothing kind of active wear brand in California, but they have stores all over the country, and their products are in REI and all those type of big stores. And they've been with us for 2 years now. They just signed up with us again, and they've been fun to work with because they really like consulting with me on what other similar brands are doing, and we'll brainstorm on some of their blogger outreach strategies. And so that has really helped my marketing and me to power Group High, because I get to see it like this giant brand. How are they doing influencer marketing, and watch these campaigns and consult on these campaigns from beginning to end. They are very, very good at building their network and then just working with the same people over and over again. So one of their popular verticals is travel bloggers, because their clothes are so easy to shove in a backpack and are durable. So they've found a lot of success partnering with travel bloggers. But all of the travel bloggers that they work with, they've been working with for over a year now. So at first, you'll do that relationship building. You'll reach out, introduce your brand, send them free clothes, make sure they like it, and then kind of just communicate ongoing. Because when they go on a trip, they will randomly just be like, oh, yeah, these pants were perfect. They didn't get wrinkled when I pulled them out of my backpack or something like that. And so those mentions are ongoing. They're constantly earning media from these people, but they're also keeping up their end of the relationship. They're sending them free product. This summer, they did a really fun campaign called 7 Day Stretch, where they picked their 100 favorite bloggers, strongest relationships, so to speak, and they sent them these pants. Like, they got to pick out like from one of three or something, and then challenge them to wear them for 7 days and use the hashtag 7 Day Stretch and post every day different stuff that they did while wearing the pants, just to kind of show off how multi ways these pants can be used and such.
That's a cool idea. Did they do it?
Oh yeah, it was. I'll send you a post on it. My company participated in it too, and it actually encouraged us to do more company activities so we could get pants pictures.
Sure, sure,
that's great.
Sure.
Of course,
it was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that campaign, but they took it just a tiny bit further. And yeah, these people got free pants and their media perpetuated, but the winners, the ones who got the most traffic back to Prana and got the most social shares on the post, they all got prizes.
Oh.
So really encourage them to keep going and share awesome content.
All right, so that's all a little bit about, you know, basically that reciprocal relationship there. I mean, they are definitely getting something for the, being part of the influencing network of that brand.
And, you know, I'll just add this. The Prana website, I remember this being discussed in that virtual summit that I attended. So I had been to their website. They're really good as a brand at harvesting stories from people who, you know, tell the tale of using their product. So is this really one of their key strategies for getting those stories is the bloggers, or are they also doing some other things? Because it looks amazing.
Yeah, I am obsessed with everything they are doing. I feel like that is a brand to follow and mimic your marketing after if you can. It's both. Okay. A lot of them are influential bloggers that they've hooked up with over the years. But a lot of the people who tell the stories on their site are just influencers that they've found sometimes at a network event or whatnot. And they'll continually produce content for them. I would imagine they're getting paid maybe monthly or whatnot. Not really part of that approach.
Sure.
However you need to do it, if you can get that voice on your site and power most of your media, I mean, that's amazing. You go to their site and, yeah, they have their products, but they have some really cool, especially with their travel bloggers or travel influencers that they partner with, some really cool content and posts and stories from those people. So your experiences, you feel like you're experiencing the brand with that consumer.
Nice engagement.
Yeah, that's impressive. So I'm curious about how, let's say you reach out and obviously you go product first. You're not, you know, negotiating rates right up front. But let's say you've got that relationship going and they like your product. You've sent them something new, you know, to try out. They like it. Things are going well. How do you start negotiating? Like, what is a going rate for an influencer? How do you measure the combined aspects of their blog and their Instagram following and Twitter and all that? That sounds like...
And how targeted their audience is for what you want.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely on a per-case basis. When we did that research report on whether or not influencers prefer cash compensation, if they think it affects authenticity, we were able to narrow down the average price just a little bit. So think of a mid-level influencer, so not your A-lister, like uber celebrity influencer, but somebody with a following of probably at least 10,000 people or such. They are usually charging anywhere from $250 to $500 a post.
Is that per like tweet or is that per like blog post? No,
blog post.
Okay.
I thought you were saying tweets.
So are they, what? Okay, now I just want to clarify. Are they providing the blog post? They're the ones writing it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of pretty good deal for you guys still, or for the people
for
wanting
the brand.
That. Yeah, for the brand. I'm sorry, for the brand.
That's what I'm saying. If you've already interacted with this person, you've sent them the free product, maybe
and they're
kind of
doing the work
or something about you.
It's like, cheaper than a press
release.
Help them
make a living and perpetuate their following and promote their network, you know?
It's called earned media, Josh.
Yeah.
Well, that's my next question. How do you feel about all of this, Rod?
No, it sounds great. No, I love it. I totally love it. Because it works in that. So, Kristen, what we do at my firm is public relations, publicity, and then a lot of content provision, whether it's messaging, communications, website stuff. We handle social media accounts and all, too. But
and you can find them on the web at thompsonpr.com. There's no P in Thompson, but there's a P in PR.
Thank you very much for that. The David Johnson.
I mean, we might as well finish the ad for Thompson PR as long as we're doing one.
Well, so. I'm just trying to give her background because, you know, Josh asked
that's
a relevant question. You know, basically, is there any, like, conflict between here? Does this replace good PR? And I don't think so because, to me, it complements it because earned media is what I mean. I just preach it over and over and over. Sometimes we'll do some ads for people, but really don't like to. Would much rather just have them get earned media. And you can get that through, you know, newspapers, through online, through bloggers, on podcasts. I mean, there's just any number of ways that you can get, you know, earned media. And that just carries so much more weight for your potential consumer or customer, you know, or client.
Okay. So you're lumping influencer marketing in with earned media?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's definitely totally an earned media category, even if it's paid.
Even if it's paid, it is, because it would still have to be a product that they were interested in. In other words, in papers that I've worked for over the years, basically anybody that wants to buy a 4x6 ad can buy a 4x6 ad unless it's lewd or something. You know, as long as it passes, basic, very minimum standards, they can buy it. But for a blogger, it's got to be the right content, the right product, and really for their own purposes, it's got to be something they believe in. So to me, that would still fall into the category of earned media in this new world we live in which the gray areas just keep expanding ever more so.
I'm super curious, though, about the local business. I can see where a local business would reach out to the local newspaper and get that earned media.
Right.
But how would you do influencer marketing? Perhaps, Kristen, you can chime in on this.
That would be great.
As a, you know,
well,
maybe,
especially if you're in a small market, right? It's only, if you're in LA or New York, it's one thing.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But so say Sarasota, Bradenton area here. It's part of Tampa Bay, but we'll just say Sarasota, Bradenton area. It's got, 800,000 people. So, small to mid-sized market there. Does influencer marketing work in a market that small? If your target audience is just that area.
Yes, absolutely. Because influencer marketing needs to have such a community building foundation. I've worked with big brands or small local brands on working in different cities or locations. And there's plenty of ways to do that. In Group High, you can pull influencers by their location. So you can pull a list of people who live in Colorado or who live in Tampa. You can get really specific. And depending on how much you need to narrow that down, you might just find a handful. But from there, you can invite them to your store. You can invite them to an event that you throw for bloggers. And that in-person networking, putting an actual real face and relationship to your brand, actually is going to create stronger media for you. So if you can do an influencer event, maybe you just pull 30 who live in your area. If you have a retail location or a space where you can hold just an event for them, think about all the different types of content you can earn. They're going to take Instagram pictures and probably different pictures that they're going to put on their social sites about your brand.
That's just almost brilliant, really. I mean, that sounds...
Your events, if you do a good job...
I mean, I don't mean to sound shocked about this, Kristen, but I mean, that sounds like a really great idea.
Which is why Kristen is on the show.
Exactly.
Okay? We should plan an event or something, guys.
Hey, there's a thought.
Yeah, so there's this company called Unclaimed Baggage in the South. I want to say Alabama, but I'm not positive. And they have a store where they sell unclaimed baggage.
They're a bunch of psychiatrists and...
No. So just random stuff that people have never claimed from the airport, and some of the stuff is really cool. And it's also a bit of a tourist attraction when people are on road trips, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
So they used Group High for a year, and they invited a bunch of bloggers who lived in surrounding states to come visit them in person, get an item for free, and then sometimes they would do events where they would organize all of the influencers and have a speaker talk about marketing or talk about blogging best practices, next level strategies. So their event was accomplishing two goals. They were getting to promote their brand and promote real life experiences with their brand, but they were also giving something really valuable to the influencers by having marketing thought leaders come speak to them and tell them how they can grow their blog and audience.
Okay, so it's not just, hey, all about us. It's also, hey, here's some great stuff to deliver value to you, the blogger, or the whatever. Okay.
It's got to be that two-way street. It's got to be that relationship.
I thought that one was brilliant. Sometimes a store will just have the bloggers come in and they'll have local beer and snacks and they can shop and get some free stuff. And yeah, the brand is obviously the one in the spotlight, but if you let them have their own organic experience with your brand, you're going to earn some fantastic content and long-term relationships, most importantly.
Okay, so
and what you're saying is open bar.
Yeah. No, that was just one example. I feel like most people don't have booze at their events. It's Friday.
Okay.
Sorry if my mind is there.
Yeah, no,
it's okay.
Yeah, right, no, it makes sense. So I was interested because in your
group
Twitter, in your Twitter feed. Well, that's 7 days a week. Okay, Twitter feed, you posted on a Convince and Convert blog that you did on why your brand should create less content. So I'm wondering how this works. For one thing, number one, I have not read that other than the title.
It just came out today, so I'll let you slide.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Appreciate it. Well, that's the only reason I haven't read it, actually.
Because you've read every other post.
Because I've read all the rest.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, okay, so that makes sense because it was at the top of your Twitter feed. But anyway, so I'm wondering, what's the gist of that? And how does that, I mean, how is that important to remember in your relationships with influence marketers and influencers?
Before I hopped on this call with you, that post was blowing up. So I think people are digging it. Like you said, the title is why your brand should create less content. Mm-hmm. But really it dives into why your brand needs to create some content and create story-worthy assets and creative information about your brand. But your focus and the majority of the content and voice on the internet about your brand should be from consumers and influencers. So I gave a few examples. One was Prana, because I'm obsessed with them.
Of course.
Hot Club, yeah, I think, was one. They do the best job I've seen.
I'm sorry, which one was that?
ModCloth,
okay, yeah.
They do an amazing job of making sure that the majority of the posts that they share, even on their site, their blog, all their social channels, are selfies that their consumers send and tag ModCloth as.
That's awesome. Rather than like taking pictures of models and posting their clothes that way.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously that brand's blowing up. It's huge. So must be working for them.
Wow. Love it. So one of the things that you've talked about in stuff that I've read in the past is this idea of co-creating content. So instead of just, hey, would you write about me? Or, hey, here's this content we wrote. Collaborating somehow with the influencers. Can you talk about, you know, how some of that might work?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like if you can co-create a piece of content with somebody else, it's just really going to round out the voice and the opinion and the value of that content. Recently, we co-created here at Group High a book with Lee Oden on co-creating content.
That's so meta.
Oh, my God.
I said it. I know. I'm like saying that sentence. I'm like, I need to let that sink in. So we co-created a book about co-creating content.
I love it.
And there's plenty of ways to do it. You can reach out with, I love the marketing industry because it's more collaborative than competitive. So I can reach out to a brand who very well may be a Group High competitor. And I'd be happy to create an ebook or blog post or podcast with them talking about our industry. You know, I think you can embrace, the fact that you guys both have the same information. So you could do something like that, or an industry that is similar to yours. Again, ebook, white paper, or if you're working with your influencers, if there's data or information you can get from sending them a simple survey and publishing and using their quotes and headshots throughout it, that'll really round out a project. Reaching out and even I would consider a post where you interview an influencer or somebody still co-created content as long as you're getting that voice. So there's a lot of creative ways to use it. Obviously, you're capitalizing on their network too. They're going to share it. You're going to share it. You're giving each other exposure to a new audience and new eyeballs. So if your brand doesn't have a huge marketing budget and you're starting out, which a lot of people are, that could be a really good way to get some exposure and get some new eyeballs on you.
This is interesting. It's just making me think a little bit about the whole content marketing strategy. And to me, this still is a form of content marketing. And I know that sounds funny, but you know, not all content should just live on your blog. You create the guest post or you influencer marketing content. You do this collaborative stuff, whether it lives on your site or if it lives on theirs, you know, either way, it's incentivized for them to share and you're getting access to new people. And I think it's an interesting way to reconsider just your marketing strategy holistically. I like it.
Yeah, I love it. And content marketing is absolutely part of influencer marketing. You said that sounded weird, but no, content marketing is absolutely
nice
components in your strategy. So
I love it. I love it. So, so what would you just like first step? Okay, I'm brand new at this. I'm ready to start. What do I do first? I mean, what do you really recommend as the actual starting point for somebody when they're thinking, okay, we're going to add this new thing called influencer marketing?
Yeah, and I've consulted on or with many brands who are doing that. I like to start from scratch. So do they have any happy consumers or influential relationships, even if it's like five people that they can put into a list, consumers that love them, any earned media they've gotten before. Sometimes people be like, I don't know, so we'll audit the blogosphere and social media and see it. If there's any media that they didn't know about, so we can make sure that those people are in our master list, so to speak.
And sometimes that's good media, sometimes not so good, right? I mean, you may.
Yeah. So,
who said what?
Look for the connection. If they have bad media out there they don't know about, I mean, that's a problem. So.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you're saying not all publicity is good publicity?
Hey, you want some more free product? I heard you hated our last product. Yeah, right. Here's some new stuff.
If they link to you, it's still good.
There you go. Yeah, for SEO at least.
Okay, sorry, we got distracted.
Yeah. Shiny object.
Research the context that your brand was mentioned in, for sure.
Okay.
So really kind of just like get everything organized, make sure that you have a pulse on happy consumers and earned media, all of that, and then chat with me or chat with one of your marketing contacts or your team, whoever, but figure out who your niche is. So it's taking your buyer personas kind of a step in a different direction, mm-hmm. and deciding what's your influencer persona. What type of influencers are your buyers following? Who are they consulting for information about your brand? Like really like brainstorm that, chat it out for hours if you need to. And then start looking for a hand, like start small. Just to iron out the kinks and see what's working for your brand, you know? So identify a handful of influencers in that niche and start interacting with them. Think about it like dating, you know? I'm 30 and single, so maybe that's why I'm really good at this. But don't just like shoot them an email and be like, hey, let's be best friends and work together. What's your address? I want to send you something. You
know? guys, if you're listening, she's Kristen Words on Twitter. Yeah. Kristen Words.
Kristen Words.
Yeah, with a K. K-R-I-S-T-E-N Words.
She didn't want that.
So I know.
She got it.
I just shamelessly promote it myself.
That's okay. Yeah. We're behind
we're
this.
All over shameless
we're,
promotions.
We're co-creating your content
that's
today,
right.
So it's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, where was I?
Does it matter at this point?
Reach out to them tactfully. So maybe not even pitch them right away. Interact and follow them on Twitter. Comment on their blog posts. Like, engage with them.
That's a great idea.
If you send that pitch, it's going to be a lot more successful. Just don't be creepy, I guess, is the main thing.
Well, there's that.
Well, okay. Fine.
Comment on your blog post. Hey, I'm interested. Call me. I'm at 8533 on WhatsApp.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
And then from there, really open the door for creative collaboration and communication. So work to everybody's strengths. Don't just pick a way for all of your influencers that you're going to talk to them and work with them. They all have different strengths. They all have a different reason why they're an influencer and why their audience loves them in the first place.
So you're saying you should read their blog posts and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think they'd really appreciate that. And it will help you figure out how you can best work with them and how their audience would want to and expect to hear about your brand through their content.
So that is a complete overlap with what I think is good PR. And that is whenever you are pitching either stories or guest columns or just flat news things, that you always know the publication and you know the people there and you know what section it should go in or that sort of thing. Because nobody who's running a business publication wants to get something on new recipes. You know, they want to know that, hey, this would work really well in your coffee talk section or something. You know, then they realize right away, hey, they actually know our publication. Sounds like the exact same concept applies to what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes a brand does want to guest post and such on blogs because guest posting is associated with the spammy SEO practices. Bloggers are really hesitant to take those guest posts, especially if it's your first interaction. So if your goal is to guest post, I think that's totally fine. I just don't think that should be the first conversation that you have.
Excellent. Excellent. So are there any quick tips that you have about the pitch itself? Like when you do reach out, you know, what you've seen that might be helpful? I know you've already said everybody's different. Yeah.
Don't start with money.
Yeah.
Don't start with money or guest post. Honestly, just like type and act like a person. Don't be super professional and talk like your brand or a robot. Mention a post or tweet that you read of theirs that made you want to partner with them. Instead of asking them for a favor right away, I prefer the approach of, hey, I think we could do really creative, cool things together. Do you want to brainstorm ways that we could partner? Or would you be interested in partnering? I'd like to make sure that whatever we do, your audience likes. So I'm open. Here's stuff that we did in the past. So you're not just asking them to think of your idea. Try to balance it out. Just make it known that you are opening the door for collaboration and communication, and that you're going to treat them like a part of your brand and process instead of this outsider who you want to milk their network and following for all its worth.
I see that you have a lot of followers.
I am interested in them all.
Yeah. There are some brands mean well, but I've seen some horrible pitches. So I say be communicative, type like a person, but don't like be too creepy. If you're reaching out to a mom blogger, which it's a great niche, great network out there, don't be like, I don't know, say something weird about their kids or I don't know. It's sometimes people just, they try too hard and it backfires. Mm-hmm.
I actually have a successful campaign I ran with my last company with a bunch of mommy bloggers, and I got super lucky. I talked to the right person, and she forwarded my email to a bunch of people and basically said, hey, if you have any, we fix like broken smartphones and stuff. And basically, if you have any broken stuff, they want to fix it for free. Fill out this Google spreadsheet. And that Google spreadsheet filled up. And I was, it was a queue that I managed for months.
Oh, wow.
But we ended up getting, you know, several articles written about it.
Right.
And the only problem is I can never measure. It really was a big e-commerce push because most of these bloggers were not local. Actually, none of them were local. But it was hard to measure how effective that campaign was overall to our strategy. All I know is it was a good thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's what I hear a lot. And you made a fantastic point. Once you're in with that community and you have those strong relationships with bloggers, they are a very,
tight-knit?
Well-connected?
Yeah. Yeah.
Best buddies?
They're all really good friends, you know?
There you go.
So once you have those relationships in place, you can simply be like, hey, do you know anybody else who would be interested in being part of this project? And I promise you, you're going to get hundreds of referrals.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's absolutely one of the best ways to find those new relationships and grow that network is to ask the bloggers or influencers that you work with to make the virtual introductions to some of their friends and contacts that would be a good fit.
So this makes me want to do something. It makes me want to have a product so I can send some people some stuff.
Josh, there you go.
Maybe I should make some stickers or something.
But you pointed out something good because your brand did a service that was pretty universal. Like, you know, people have broken stuff and they need to send it somewhere. So, you know, some services and products don't lend themselves well to sampling.
Yeah, that's the truth.
You know,
here, have a sample of my podcast.
Well, yeah, or Rod, I'm thinking about one of your clients right now that's running a essentially what amounts to a retirement facility.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, it's like you can't put a blogger in a retirement home for you know, for a month and say, you know what I mean? So like
you're gonna have to get creative.
Now you got my wheels turning on that one. Wow.
I mean, I think you can do this with any industry. Just some of them, you are going to have to spend a lot more time brainstorming and trying a few things. Like, no blogger wants to write about a retirement home for the most part, but what topics would the people you target also be interested in? Like, how can you partner your message with something a little more down to earth and relatable?
The types of palm trees most apt to appear in a Corona ad, for example.
I'm thinking that as your parents age and you have to deal with all these decisions and problems and legal issues and financial concerns and all that.
There's your topic.
Right.
Thank you.
That doesn't sound interesting.
No, it totally does. If you're
not
like,
to you,
if you're like 50 that's and your parents are 80 something,
and Florida.
Yep.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. We call this God's waiting room. So
and it is filling up. Man, we got a lot of people here.
But actually, our population is actually getting younger all the time. I don't think we're as young as Colorado, but we're getting there.
It's younger, but it's growing like crazy and not really relevant to our
business. If there's enough people like Rod having like 8 kids, 17 actually.
17, yeah. It's only 8. Let's just only put it at 8.
Dang it, I got it right.
Yeah, you did.
You got it right this time. So, Kristen.
And Kristen's gone silent all of a sudden.
I can't even pick.
Yeah.
So, Kristen,
wide angle lens.
Where are you actually from? I'm curious about your accent.
I have an accent?
No, not at all.
No,
it sounds great.
Rod thinks you have an accent. I don't think so.
No, Rod has an accent.
I do. Obviously, you're not from Michigan, right?
No, I don't know why people think that. I'm from Delaware, but I've been in Colorado for like 12 years, so. Okay. I think some of my vowels are still a little bit Delawarean.
That's okay. What I notice is that you learned to say it correctly because it's actually Colorado. People say Colorado when they haven't lived there.
Oh, that's right. You've lived there. See, I call it Colorado because I've only flown over it and skied down.
I was born in Denver. So
what's the difference? Hold on, Colorado.
Colorado, yeah.
What's the other one?
If you drive a Chevy pickup truck, it's a Silverado, right? But it
okay.
Well, I completely hear the difference. I just always said it the other way.
Yeah. So anyway, I get made fun of for saying Colorado. People are like, Colorado? Wait, you know. So anyway,
are you from Alabama?
Yeah. Well, I lived there for a year too, but I don't have to talk about that. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're listening from Alabama, my apologies. It was just a bad time in my life. Okay. So this has been a lot of fun. I think we've learned a lot of stuff.
Truly.
And so if people want to, by the way, let me just say this. If you are even remotely thinking about getting into influencer marketing, whether or not you feel like the Group High product is a good fit for you, you need to be reading the blog.
Yeah.
Kristen, you, I think, are the primary contributor to the blog there, if I'm not mistaken.
I take guest posts here and there, but it's mostly me.
It's really good stuff. And I know that once in a while you do these virtual summits, which is also a great way for people to get acquainted. Because what you do is you line up people who are experts in various aspects of doing this stuff, and you have them speak.
Virtual summit.
It's virtual. Yeah, you can go. It's like going to a conference, except you can do it from your desk.
Is this a new name for a webinar? I mean, it sounds
super
cool.
It's like a whole day of different presenters.
So, I know, but the word summit—the
most amazing strategy I've ever implemented here. It's a whole day of people speaking, webinar style, on different aspects of influencer marketing. I have agencies and brands. I try to get all levels of marketing types. So we have a lot of next level presentations, but we also have presentations for beginners. I mean, our network for Group High is 50,000 people now, and we have 300 clients. So we have all of our following is marketers and people interested in influencer marketing and PR, but we have a lot of people who are just kind of starting out and maybe don't have the budget for Group High. And so we do tailor and create content to them too.
It's really good stuff. And so when do you have one planned coming up?
April.
We
did one in October.
Yeah, and that's one that I attended. I actually dragged one of my clients kicking and screaming to the to the summit because they didn't know anything about this, and so it was like, and I probably did a poor job of explaining it, but they came away with some really fantastic ideas.
The thought leadership at those conferences is phenomenal. I mean, they're all available on demand. I need to do a better job of rounding up those presentations and linking to them in posts or making a library or something. I don't know. The presentations have just been absolutely phenomenal. We've had some cool brands. We've had amazing thought leaders speak.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the list.
We've had 2,000 people attend.
Oh, it's fantastic. There's David Meerman Scott on newsjacking. You have Jay Baer in the list, who I'm sure is talking about content marketing in some way, shape, or form, or social. You've got just a great list of past stuff that's available. So what we'll do is we'll link out Chad Pollitt. I noticed here from Relevance. We'll post a link with today's show notes. So we'll link out to the post that you wrote on Convince and Convert. That's blowing up. Congratulations on that.
And we'll write for them once a month.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, and so we'll post a link out to this list of previous outreach marketing summits so that our listeners can find topics if you want to learn more about that. And what else would you recommend? I know this report, I have the PDF in front of me on compensating influencers while maintaining trust, which I thought was a phenomenal report. I don't know if that's maybe something you want to offer, or is there a free download you want to give away to our listeners?
Yeah, it's a free download in our resource section on our site. That report, I mean, even though I ran the survey and created it, I was still impressed with the results and the end product. Like, we all learned new stuff on paying influencers for posts. I highly recommend that anybody remotely interested in working with influencers, whether you want to work with 5 or 500, take a look at this post, because we also incorporated some of their quotes at the end of the survey. I gave them a spot to weigh in and share anything that they might want to share with marketers reaching out to influencers. So there's some really good quotes in there and tips straight from the influencers that you're trying to pitch.
Wow, that's really, really, really good stuff. So we'll link out to a place where they can then go, our listeners can go download that, and that will be fantastic. And we appreciate you making that available to our audience.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds like your audience will love that piece of content.
I think so.
Yeah. So how can people get a hold of you, Kristen?
On Twitter, Kristen Words is an easy way to find me. It's KRISTEN. A lot of times people think it's IN, so I like to clarify that.
That's good.
Or if you want to send me more than 140 characters, you're welcome to email me. It's Kristen, KRISTEN, at grouphigh.com.
Fantastic.
Nice.
And
go.
And definitely check out the blog at grouphigh.com and lots of other resources, which, as I mentioned, we will be linking out to. I think we've learned a lot. So I have one more question for you.
Oh, I had a question.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm.
I just want to know what you wanted for Christmas.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going light side or dark side. So let's go.
Oh, there you
let's
go.
Are you for the light side or the dark side of the force?
Do you have any idea what we're talking about? Huh? I'm sorry. Say again, Kristen.
I don't know what that means.
Right. Just
so you haven't seen the new Star Wars flick.
Oh, I haven't seen any Star Wars movies. We're having a company field trip and going on Monday.
Oh,
there you go.
All right. Well,
do you think I'll understand it if I haven't seen it?
No, you need to start at the beginning. So you need to black out an entire day.
No. This is someone who's about to become a Star Wars fan.
Let's not make it overburdensome. So Kristen, you're going to enjoy it, but there will be a lot of inside jokes that will pass over.
Other
your
people
head.
Will be laughing.
I saw the film.
That's already happening. Like,
yeah, of course, right?
People right. Talking about Star Wars.
So you are actually going to go see it. That's great.
It's
a company field trip. It's team building.
Oh, that's absolutely okay. Very
you
important.
Sound very excited about it.
Very important team building exercise.
Well,
absolutely.
I'd rather read a book or go hiking or create a new blog post. I just think there's better things you can do with your time.
You could write a blog post about Star Wars. It is that relevant.
And the team building.
I'm just saying.
Writing a blog post about Star Wars.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, I saw it. There are no spoilers here, but I saw the film on Thursday night.
Is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Oh, it's both thumbs and whatever else other appendages. Actually, there's a great thumbs up joke in the movie.
Whoa.
Oh,
really?
With BB-8, which you want to watch out for.
I will look for that joke.
You will. Yeah, you won't be able to miss it. It's pretty good. No, the film is good. So my other nerds here, you guys haven't seen it yet.
No, I don't. I won't see it until the theaters are much less crowded.
Yeah,
that's just the way I am.
Yeah,
the lines were crazy yesterday in traffic, just people going to that movie.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so this has been really valuable. I can't thank you enough for taking the time. And I think we've all learned some stuff.
I'm going to
sure
go comment
have.
On some blogs.
Yeah, really. I'm going to go find
some
influencers.
Thank you guys for having me. You're fun.
Thanks a lot, Kristen.
Sure.
Want to wrap it up?
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. Hey, that was a good episode.
I learned a lot.
Oh, me too. Yeah, I didn't have a whole ton of information to start with, so I got just a download of it, really, on that topic.
Yeah, the PR guy learned something about the new PR world we live in.
Kind of, yeah.
I feel like this was like a great start for influencer marketing, and, you know, I've made some bad pitches already.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and so I don't have good, you know, results to tell yet on influencer marketing like you do. That was a great story, Josh.
Yeah, I have yet to repeat that success.
Okay, yeah. Well, now we have some tools.
Right.
All right, so hope you enjoyed today's show. Be sure to tweet us at GTD Show and let us know what questions you have. We're going to have Kristen back, I think. We should do that again.
I think so.
Yeah. So we want to know what you want to know about that. And a very special thing from all of us, from the three of us, right?
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.
And happy Star Wars.
Absolutely. Yeah, we want to hear about your Star Wars experience.
You can hear about it. I don't mind hearing about it. I don't want any spoilers because I'm not going to go watch it.
Yeah, no spoilers. Do not
theaters
tweet,
are empty.
Do not tweet Rod with any spoilers. But if you do tweet him, it's at Rod_Thompson with no P in Thompson. You can tweet Josh at Josh Muccio, MUCCIO.
There's no P in that either.
Being down on Star Wars is akin to being the Grinch who stole Christmas.
I am not down on Star Wars. I just don't want any spoilers. I'm going to go see it. I've seen them all.
I use the meme, I find your lack of Christmas spirit disturbing. It's a little Darth Vader. It's fun. Anyway, we only have one
more. Describing his memes.
One more show in 2015. It'll be next week. It's going to be good.
It is. I have an idea for it.
Cool.
A really good one.
We're going to keep it offline?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.